everyone has faith in something. Even a lack of faith is sort of a faith and a kind of faith. Some people have little faith and we feel sorry for them. Certain people have a desperate faith and we pray for them. Those who have a different faith, and we attempt to understand them. Others acknowledge a strong faith and they're admired. The object of faith is, of course, God. It is important that we understand in whom we believe and place our trust. We know our colons have trust, you know, God we trust. If we study what the Bible says about faith, we will come to the undeniable conclusion that faith must have a solid foundation. You know, this sanctuary is painted, but you know what? What if it was wallpaper? You know, a lot of churches years ago were wallpaper. I'd hate to have tried to wallpaper the church here, but you know what wallpaper has to have behind it, don't you? A solid wall, or it won't stand up. Of course, it has to have glue on it too, but it needs a solid structure behind it. And that is similar to what faith is. And it is important that we understand in whom we believe and place our trust. If we study what the Bible says, we must remember that it explains to us from Genesis to Revelation about faith. Faith isn't something which is turned on and off like those light switches. Faith isn't like that at all. Faith is a lifestyle that is lived daily. We reside in a society of skeptics and cynics. Often people will respond to a promised possibility by saying, "I don't believe it." How many of you heard that? Probably every week we hear someone say, "I just don't believe it." Well, they call that reality, but it is really a form of skepticism learned by negative experiences. Unfortunately, we've all had those grim episodes which have taken their toll and conditioned us to look at our circumstances as skeptics. And then in some ways, that's a sad thing, but experience does teach us things like that. Because of disappointments, frequently there is the temptation to believe in nothing or no one. When promised something, the usual response is by saying, "I'll believe it when I see it." The promise is that even when seen, it is still difficult to believe. There are those, including ministers, who enjoy and take delight in faith busting. What that means is they like to pull the carpet out from under people and try to explain things away that really takes a toll on a person's faith. I recall about 2 years ago in the United Church of Canada, they ordained an atheist as a minister of the gospel. Now, okay, are you facilitating that in your mind right now? Well, she said her goal as a minister was to get rid in the church the superstition on a belief in God. My question is, who in the first place sponsored her? Now, I'm not saying we hate her, by no means. That's not a point. But to say you're a minister of the gospel and deny God, something's wrong with that picture right then and there. That's kicking the pedestals of faith out from under people because their own doubts do not permit an alternative. Many people today are searching for something but end up building a faith that is based on a faulty foundation. That sort of faith foundation will collapse upon the first challenge encountered. I just knew several seminarians when I was in seminary. They come in with that pie in the sky attitude, and they just said their faith was so built up in the wrong way. You've heard of religious fanatics? Well, that's the way they were. Now, I'm going to use an illustration here, but I don't know if it's up to date or not. When their train jumped the tracks, their entire faith derailed. Why? It was not based on God. It was based on a feeling or an emotion or whatever it could be, and their faith fragmented in front of them. And I saw that, and I thought to myself, you know, that's taught me a lesson that I will never forget. Don't build your faith on a foundation that might end up jumping up and flipping you and kicking you in the face. That happens to some people. And once they lose that faith, it's hard for them to regain it unless they call up on God. But even knowing that God is the foundation for faith does not guarantee an automatic faith. Barriers to an authentic faith always seem to be present. What am I talking about? Abraham faced barriers to his faith. A barrier we all face is doubt. We look at our lives and wonder how anything can be done to improve our situation. And that is exactly what Abraham did. I'm calling him Abraham, though in the text it said Abram, but he had a name change a few chapters later. God had made a promise to Abraham that he would become the father of many nations. But Abraham was old, and so was his wife. How many hundred-year-old men, you know, has just become a father? Or a 90-year-old woman become a mother? Well, maybe the years were a little different tallied up, but they were still considered elderly in those days. How could any person have a child that late in life? Faith or trusting in God accomplishes several things. There are benefits of faith for us. Scripture says that Abraham was strengthened in his faith. It says in Genesis, in that area, it says, God said, is there anything too hard for me to do? Think about that. When your faith is jumping the tracks a little bit and you're frustrated or something, just think about it. There's nothing too difficult for God not to accomplish. God can do anything. But you know what we have to do? We have to ask God to help us in all situations. But like everyone, including yours truly, we like to try to fix it ourselves first, don't we? And then call up on the Lord later and say, can you help me out? You know, and we don't seem to have that much remorse. But God will help us out. God will help us through those doubts and frustrations and everything. Most of you know I've been approved to be an adoptive parent, and I've had some really bad frustrations this past couple of weeks. First of all, I looked at a boy over in Tampa, St. Petersburg, but you had to fill out this thing online there and send his name to the director in Jacksonville. Well, the man was very prompt. He said, contact this caseworker. Phone number and email was given to me. I called the next day. I called on a Tuesday, and no answer, just voicemail. So I left a message. Did I hear anything that afternoon? Did I hear anything the next day? Mm-mm. I decided, well, I'm going to type up an email and send it to her on Thursday. Friday, I got a response, and guess what? She passed me on, said there's an adoption specialist in St. Petersburg who's dealing with that boy. For me to call, gave me her phone number and her email. Well, I did that. I still haven't heard anything. I even emailed. 2 weeks it's taken me to go through the state bureaucratic system. But I'm not knocking Florida, because I'm sure the 49 other states have the same issues going on there. The thing about it is that's when you start struggling with God. Is there any hope here? Should I just throw in the towel and everything? Well, I've not. But when you're tried under fire like that, you really wonder. But I guess I don't know why they give you their phone number if they're not going to contact you back. I was raised to be courteous by responding back. But that doesn't seem to be the rules today. So mine's just one little minute issue. That's not, I mean, it's not one of these life-changing, but it does get frustrating. And I'm sure each of you, if you were to stand up and testify right now, there's something going on that is just driving you crazy and causing you to bite your fingernails. It happens to all of us, and I don't feel special about what's going on with me, because I know God is still in control, and if it's God's will, I will agree. If it's not God's will, I will agree too. So that's how we must receive what God wants to do in our lives. The best is in God's care and hands. We must convince ourselves that, or we can just say, well, there's no God. And that is not in my vocabulary. So when you're frustrated about something, turn to God immediately. Do you know, the benefit of faith is that faith builds up our spiritual muscles. It's like going to the gym or lifting up the fork to eat the next meal. It builds up our spiritual muscles. It nurtures us toward maturity. Abraham was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what God has promised him, even though he realized a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old wife, you know, that's almost 200 years of age there. And by common sense and practicality, it wasn't going to happen. But it did happen. You know, a little later on, when those angels came to the tent of Abraham out in the desert, and I think one of them was the Lord, and when one of them said, this time next year you will have a son. And guess what? Abraham's wife snickered and laughed, and God heard her. Said, you just laughed at me. She says, no, I didn't. He said, oh, yes, you did. You're going to see that what I said will actually happen. And guess what? Sarah was a mother within a year. So sometimes when we think the impossible is out there, keep in mind that God can eliminate the I and the M in that word and make it possible. And that's where faith kicks in. Faith kicks in if we just would only believe that God can come through for us. And that doesn't mean just prosperity by money or a career or goals or adoption. It can mean your health as well. So remember, God does have a purpose in everything. The thing we have to do is continue to believe that God will work for us. Faith establishes and gives us a solid or sure foundation, like that old hymn, How Firm a Foundation. Finally, faith enables and gives us possession of all the promises of God. What did God promise Abraham? That his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the galaxies. And it came true. God never reneges on anything. You know, a favorite Presbyterian word is covenant. It goes back to John Calvin. Presbyterians love covenant. What is a covenant? It's an agreement. Do you know that how many times have we broken covenants with God? How many times has God broken covenants with us? Not once. It's kind of like the story of the U.S. Army, the U.S. government with the Indians. They were breaking treaties all the times they signed with the Indians. But we do the same thing, but it's with God. And we must remember that God is always true to us. God never turns his back on us at all. Therefore, Abraham received the righteousness of God credited to him, and the barrier called doubt immediately dissolved in his life. I was reading an article in that newspaper, comes out in Wachula. It's a Herald Advocate. You know, I've used that some stories. They have some unique stories in there, and there was one, they just celebrated Pioneer Days down in Hardy County. And they had a wonderful article in there. Now, it wasn't, I would call, a faith religious article per se, but I saw faith between the lines. In 1874, Eli English and his wife moved to Wachula from Fort Meade. An amazing person was this Mr. English. He homesteaded some land in that area. I think he cleared 5 acres to legitimize his claim that was required by the state of Florida at the time, but realized something was missing in the area for the 6 or 7 pioneer families. You know what it was? There was a church already there. No, you know what it was? It was a general store. They didn't have a store. The closest general store was Fort Meade. Now, you're talking about in the old days before they had a nice highway going from Wachula to Fort Meade. And so Eli English said, we've got to have a general store. He practically mortgaged everything to get supplies for the store. That had to take a lot of faith, didn't it? A huge amount of faith to mortgage everything he had. He drove a cart pulled by oxen to Tampa. Now, we think, oh, that's a breeze nowadays, unless you get on I-4 and get stuck. But most of the time, if we got to think about it, to have an oxen cart, how long did it take him to get there? He loaded the cart down with furs and hides and even some citrus crops he had that he could sell over in Tampa to trade for goods for his general store. And the round trip required about a week over deep sand rutted roads through the wilderness trails, which had been made by the military during the Seminole Wars. So it must have been quite an experience to take that road. We would call it US 17 now, but it would have taken a lot of faith to have gone through all that. I mean, you had to camp over, so you had to be big bonfires because there were a lot of wild critters out there roaming those woods. You had all stuff, even sand spurs to even have to pull out. And, you know, you think about that. That man was truly courageous, but that man had to have had a great deal of faith. The new store eventually opened, and it was the only one south of Fort Meade to serve the settlers in the area for quite a few years down the road there. But it took faith and not doubt on Eli English's part to establish his business for the community. You talk about a hero, but also a person of faith. Eli English was that man. Abraham's basis for faith, of course, was God, in whom he believed. Abraham trusted in God implicitly, as the scripture says. God must be the foundation, object, and basis for faith. Our faith rests upon the reliability of God, not on the changing feelings of our human heart. One of my great favorite heroes of the United States, to me, one of the greatest Americans who ever lived was, you want to take a guess? Thomas Alva Edison. If you study him, I mean, you think Benjamin Franklin was great, and he is, but you think about the thousands of inventions he came up, patented. It's astounding in his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey. But he was a person, he was challenged and he never gave up, because out of faith, the light bulb was invented. Guess what? If he hadn't done that, we'd be burning kerosene lights in the church sanctuary, or even candles. So Edison invented the light bulb, but was it easy? No. I think it took like 1,000 experiments before he got the right filament in the first light bulb to burn. And so Edison's faith was centered up on God. And all those challenges, his faith endured, and his faith was undergirded by grace. If Edison's faith in God was good enough for him to invent revolutionary gadgets. Now, you know what I'm talking about. The record player, the phonograph, the Victrola, was invented by Thomas Edison. Do you realize that when it came out by accident, he was working on something else for a telegraph, and he ended up recording his voice, and when he played it back, Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. Everybody in that laboratory dropped what they were doing. Why? They'd never heard a human voice reproduce. Oh, we say, oh, we know that. Now, guess what? That was something that had never been done in the history of the world. And it was repeated mechanically. And it launched a whole new... And of course, nowadays, we have MP3 players and CDs and all the different guys. But it started in that laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey, with a man who believed that God had given him the mind and the skills to be able to do what he needed to do to succeed in life. We place our faith in God's promises. Why? because it's affirmed in the Bible. Human words are unreliable because humans are fickle. We go back and forth and all that, yea and nay, like that. But Abraham took God seriously, and that is what we should do. That is faith. Struggling about faith? Well, know this. God seeks us out through many avenues, such as people, such as church, and yes, even by reading the Bible and praying. You know, we may be prone to give up. It may seem like we're walking that last 100 miles, and are we ever going to be able to just reap some benefits out of it? But God won't give up on us. Why? Because God's love does not have qualifiers or dead-end streets. Yes, we may try to twist ourselves out of God's hand, but it says in the Scriptures that God said He will not allow us to slip out of His hand. That is certainly a comfort to me to know God will not let us go, even though we will fight like the Dickens to get out of God's reach sometime. But God won't. As sometimes even when we move far away from God, God still has us in His hands. Remember that. Remember that when something is, you're down in the ditch line and you're looking up, remember, God is with you in that ditch line as well. You know, isn't that the good news that we want to hear? I believe so, without a shadow of a doubt. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, sometimes in our walk, it doesn't just even be a faith journey, we stumble along. We think we know more than anybody else or smarter than the average bear, but we remember this too, O Lord, that you are the one that's still in control. If you promised, and we know you did, about Abram becoming a father of many nations, our little problems and worries may not be as serious as Abraham's, but we know that you still cherish what we go through and will help us out through thick and thin. Help us in our faith when we seem to wander away. Guide and lead us. And may we be an inspiration to others who are struggling too in the faith. We pray all this through the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.